y'all got me stirred up today. I'm going to let you know I did have a little coffee this morning. I don't normally do that, so if I get a little jittery up here, y'all know in advance. It's all right. Just pray for me. It's okay. Just pray for me. So Isaiah, our youngest, when he was born, he was almost 3 months premature. 11 weeks, right? 11 weeks premature. So he was in the hospital for the first 2 months of his life and hooked up to all the stuff and everything, right? I remember when we went to the hospital to see him for the first time, I could put his head in my hand and the bottom of his feet got to my elbow. I mean, he was a little thing, right? He was a little thing. And now his mouth is that big. But then he was just this little thing, and of course Beth and I were, you know, our anticipation here is that, you know, we're brought in as foster parents here, but our hope and our desire is that we would be able to adopt this child, right? And so as we are seeing him and hoping that he would become a part of our forever family, right? Like we're praying for him, right? We're praying for his healing, right? We're praying that his lungs would develop right? That his heart would develop right. Like when he came home to us, this still just seems so ridiculous to me. But when he came home with us, they sent him home on a heart and lung monitor because sometimes he would forget to breathe. That part of his brain had not yet developed, right? And so sometimes he would forget to breathe, right? Now, here's the best part of the story. And we're at the hospital, and the nurse is talking to Beth and I. Beth, who is also a nurse, by the way. I am not a nurse, just so we're clear. And lady says to us, so he's going to go home on this heart and lung monitor because he forgets to breathe sometimes. Are you guys good with that? And real quick, Beth chimes in with, oh, yeah, we're good. Hold on a second. Because you go work at the hospital every day, and I'm the one who's going to be home with them. So I don't really feel like you should be voting on my behalf here, right? Like, I am not entirely good with this. Like, I don't know what to do with children when they stop breathing and they forget how to do that, right? Like, so for her, this is like no big deal. But anyway, so we're praying for him, right? We're praying. We were not praying that God would just help him stay on the monitor for as long as possible and just be okay with that. Right? Like that was not our prayer. Our prayer was that he would no longer need the monitor, that his brain would develop, and that his lungs would develop, and that his heart would develop, and that his mouth would develop. And all this, like that he would grow into a man of God one day that would be a mighty force for his kingdom, right? Like that's what we were praying. We didn't want him just to barely be okay, right? We wanted him to be able to live in the fullness of life. That was our prayer for our son. And Lord, did he answer our prayer? He really did. He really did. Not just in regard to his mouth, but no, he did. You know, I think of Wanda Arthur as well. I didn't even mention this to the call or anybody else here, but you know, when we first heard that Wanda was going to be put on hospice, right? Like Paul let everybody know. Right? And what was the first thing that we did with that, right? We started praying, right? We started praying, like, Lord, like we know what hospice is for, and we know where things generally go when hospice is involved, but Lord, we're just praying that you would do something different, right? That you would flip this whole scenario, that you would restore life to her, like that you would grant her an extension of days, right? And now we're at a point where hospice ain't even trying to talk to her anymore. They're like, you know what? Just you call us later. We're done with you right now. She's no longer part of hospice. Right? Amen. Praise God. But our prayer was not just that she would barely make it each day. Right? Our prayer was that God would fill her with life. That she wouldn't have to have nurses and everybody coming in to take care of her, that she would be able to take care of herself, right? That God would fill her with strength and provide for her in every single way. Like, that was our prayer. Our prayer was not that she would barely make it. Our prayer was that she would be filled with life, right? So, we pray for each other because we don't want anyone to just be barely alive, right? And I pray for you because I don't want any of us to be just barely alive. And Jesus wasn't risen from the dead so that we could just live barely alive and get to heaven, right? He rose from the dead so that we could actually come alive, so that we could put to death our old self, that we could be made brand new in Jesus Christ. Like, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could live barely alive. He didn't die on the cross so that we could just barely make it into heaven, right? So he died so that we might come fully alive. So why is it that we will pray for people that have this? Like, I will pray for my son that God would heal him wholly and totally, that he would live fully alive. But I don't necessarily pray that for myself in my own spiritual walk with God. Why is it that I'm interested in the physical healing of people around me, that people like Wanda would be able to live in the fullness of life again? But I'm not necessarily all that concerned about God living fully inside of me and in my heart right now. Like, what if there was more to life than just barely getting by spiritually? Like, what if God was actually calling us to live in the abundance of everything that He has sent Jesus to die on the cross for? 2 weeks ago, we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how God brought him back to life on that Sunday morning and what that means to us. And then last week we looked at how Jesus then sent the Holy Spirit and 3,000 people after Peter's proclamation of the good news there to those 3,000 people came alive because of the good news that Jesus is alive as well. And then as we continue on today, we're gonna get to the end of Acts chapter 2. And so, if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to turn there. But at the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says this: it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Like, to me, that just begs the question: like, what is it that these early believers were doing that caused people to come alive every day, right? And I think what I hope we discover today is that it's this transition from just barely living to actually giving our everything to God. And when we do, there are some things that will happen not only in us, but around us as well. Right? Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for your presence in this place, and I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. And I just ask, God, that you would help us to hear from you. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, God, and that you would just help us all to say yes to you. I thank you for this, Lord, and I ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. So let's jump into this here. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And I want to read this verses 42 and 43 for you here. It says, they is the disciples that were there and the 3,000 that just came alive because of their faith in Jesus Christ, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So So again, recognize that, that the they that they're talking about here is not only those that the disciples that were telling the good news, but even the part of the 3,000 that gave their lives to Christ. Like that is all that we're talking about here. And what happened in this moment, see, they came for a festival to celebrate in a certain way, yet now they are behaving differently. Like things have changed even in their schedule, right? Like, so they came to do this Pentecost festival, this Old Testament festival. Like, that's why they made pilgrimage to be in Jerusalem. But now they are doing things that don't have anything to do with that festival, right? So they're meeting together. They're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and being with one another, the fellowship there, breaking bread together, praying together. They were seeing miracles that were performed by the apostles. Like all of these things were happening now. And here's what I want you to begin to see in this, right? It is one thing to hear about the good news of Jesus and to allow your spirit to be enlightened by the fact that this good news is for you as well. It is another thing altogether to let that life change actually change your life. Come on, somebody. I'll amen myself if I have to. That's all right. It is one thing to experience Jesus Christ and to know that because of his death and resurrection, you can be forgiven of your sins. Like you can receive that for yourself in a moment. But it is another thing altogether to let that life change actually change your life. Right? Like, to change your schedule, to change your priorities, to change your money. Oh, Lord, he went there too, didn't he? To change, like, how you talk to people, to change how you interact with each other, to change how you pray, to change everything about your life. Like, these that came and heard this good news about Jesus, they didn't just say to Peter, hey, that's really cool, man. And leave. Like, they weren't just baptized in a moment and then gone on back to life. It says that they actually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. This wasn't just something that they happened to do that they kind of accidentally stepped in, right? No, this was something that they were intentional about. They reoriented their lives in doing this. They weren't just trying to just be barely alive in the salvation that they received from the good news of Jesus Christ. No. They weren't trying to just live barely alive. They were going all the way in. They were doing this. They were devoting themselves to it. Let me keep going. Oh, no, I can't keep going here. It's one other thing I got to throw in. Recognize, too, that where it talks about the fact that God was performing miracles, right? God wasn't performing miracles in opposition to their will, right? Hear me on this now. So it wasn't like God was working against them to perform miracles, but rather, God was actually responding to their faith in him. Did you catch that? Right? God wasn't just doing these miracles on his own, like he's in some sort of spiritual silo over here, and every once in a while he'll just kind of throw a miracle over the wall, you know, and maybe it'll kind of land in your lap or whatever. It wasn't like that. No, what it was is that you actually had a group of people who decided, you know what? I'm not just going to walk through life just like whatever normal is. But what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to extend my faith in God in such a way that I would ask for God to perform a miracle in front of me. Now, here's what's crazy, is that when they did that, God actually performed some miracles. See, here's what I want us to get in this, is that the miracles of God don't happen because we're just kind of going through the motions of spirituality, right? Like, miracles of God don't happen just because we happen to show up on a Sunday morning. The miracles of God don't just happen because we know that somebody out there is praying for us. No, the miracles of God happen because we are actually extending our faith wholeheartedly in God. We are believing that he is able, and by our faith, God is responding to our faith by actually performing the miracles. That is not something that happens unless you are all in on this thing. It is not something that happens if you're just trying to go through the motions. It's not something that happens if you're just trying to barely live. No, that's something that happens when you are fully alive in Jesus Christ. Let me keep going here. Verse 44. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, again, might seem a little obvious to point out here, but one of the things that they were doing as a group was they were actually taking care of one another. And again, they weren't just kind of throwing an offering here or there, right? I mean, it says that they actually, that they gave to anyone that had need, right? And it wasn't just, well, here's $5, I hope that helps you out, right? They were selling property. They were sacrificing of themselves in order that others in the group, that others around them might be able to benefit from that which God has put in their hands. That is not a that is a significant sacrifice and step for them to have made, right? Particularly when you recognize that in Israel, let me say it that way, the idea of land is so very different, right? Particularly in the Old Testament, the idea is that the land when Joshua brought the Israelites into this promised land, right? When they got there, like, that was their family's land, right? And so they wouldn't just, in fact, the law actually talked about they couldn't just sell it off to somebody else because then it would go out of the family, right? There had to be a way that it could be redeemed, if you will, by the family so that land could also, so that each tribe has their own stuff here, right? So when we're talking about land here, it's not like, oh, well, I got an extra piece of property out in Waller County that I'm not really doing anything with. I'll just sell that off and we'll use the money and kind of, you know, have our next building fund or something like that. No, it's not like that, right? Like the significance of that land, there's something to that. Like that land was designed to be an inheritance. They didn't exactly have a 401k back then, right? They weren't trying to put into the latest and best mutual funds, right? Like, that land was their inheritance. And so, in a way, what they're doing is they are giving their inheritance to others simply because there is need. I would love for each of you to talk to your kids about that conversation sometime. Hey, kids, I was going to have an inheritance for you, but Pastor Tim said there was a need down at the church and everything, and so that might not go very well, right? Like, we laugh about that and everything, but again, it recognizes this is more than just, hey, I'm making a donation toward the church, right? This is a significant sacrifice that is being made on behalf of the common good, if you will. Right? This is a level of devotion that is beyond just giving your offering at the temple. This is like caring for one another. They even they met daily in small groups, right? We think that meeting weekly in a group can be kind of challenging sometimes with our schedules. They actually reoriented their schedules in such a way that they could meet each other daily. And they even had, like, unprogrammed gatherings where they were just getting together and hanging out, right? And the reason they did that was because this was their, like, these are their people now. Get this now, because this is so significant. Sometimes we walk into a relationship with Jesus and we think that we're just going to find a way to fit Jesus into our lives.
that's just not exactly how Jesus has asked and oriented for these things to happen. No, actually, what Jesus is desiring is that we would reorient our lives around Him. Right? So we're not trying to fit Him into some sort of crack somewhere that, oh, well, I got 5 minutes here, Jesus, I'll just work in there, right? It's like you're some sort of extra appointment in there, right? No. But rather that we would reorient all that we do and all that we are and all we have around Him, which includes who you're with, where you spend your time, how you spend your money, all those things. Everything is oriented around Him. See, this is why it's so important for us to recognize that when it comes to being devoted to God, God is asking more from us than just to give whatever we might happen to have in our hands. He's asking us to give everything. Now, I realize that that's not exactly, that may not exactly be popular message there, right? Like, well, I'm not really sure if I want to give my life to the Lord then if He's asking for everything. Well, that's fine. You need to count the cost before you walk into this relationship with Jesus. But you need to know He's asking for everything. He doesn't just want you to give Him just a penance here and there. He doesn't just want to hear from you every once in a while. Like, He wants your life because He gave His life for you. He wants your life because He knows, like, there's more to your life than what you're actually living right now. He wants everything because if you would dare to give that to Him, He can show you things you've never dreamed of for your life. But you can't hold on to His life and hold on to your life at the same time. You got to pick one or the other. And there is no halfway. If you're still holding on to your life, you can't hold on to everything that Jesus has for you. It's a matter of going all the way. And what I love about this is, like, I would think, okay, you got these people who they're selling off all their stuff and everything. Like, I got to be honest with you, all right? Just honest pastor moment here. And again, you know I don't like saying that because then it seems like every other thing I'm saying is a lie, but that's not true either. Anyway, the point is, if I'm selling off all my property for some people who are in need, and I'm sure the need is legit, right? But you know, like, all right, I'm going to pick on Larry Robinson for a little bit because he's easy to pick on, right? So let's say I got to sell my field because Larry Robinson needs some help, right? And so I'm going to sell my field, sure, all for the glory of God, yeah, whatever, praise the Lord, right? But you better believe I'm going to keep my eye on Larry, right? Because I'm making sure Larry is using that money the right way. And if he ain't using that money the right way, I'm going to go talk to them apostles. I'm going to tell you that right now. Right? Hey, Peter. Hey, I ain't playing, brother. Like, that was my inheritance right now. And Larry just out here lollygagging around on my inheritance. Like, what in the world's going on? Y'all need to make it happen around here. Something. Get this thing turned around, right? Like, I would probably be a little critical. Like, right? Here's what blows me away. Going back to verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, even the people they gave their money to. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, this is what I think is so important about this. When God is asking us to actually be devoted to Him, He's not asking us to just sacrifice everything and then have a sour face about it, right? Like we can't go give our all and then kick the dirt about the fact that God is so horrible to follow, right? Like, if we're going to give our all, we've got to realize that, hey, we're giving it in joy. We're believing by faith that when it's in God's hands, it's a whole lot better than when it's in my hands. And I don't know what Larry's doing with it, but that's not my problem. The only thing I've got to focus on is, am I giving everything to God? Am I totally dependent on Him? Have I surrendered my all to Him? And if I have, then I'm going to experience the joy of the Lord in my life. I am going to be praising Him in ways because I know how good He is. Because I've experienced it for myself. I'm going to be so filled with the fruit of God's Holy Spirit that you can't keep it from coming out of me, right? This is what these people were known for.
not just giving their stuff away, but for actually being people that look like Jesus made a difference in their lives. That's part of what it is to live fully alive in Jesus Christ. And with Him. Let me have the worship team come on back up here. Here's what I want you to get in all this too. When this group of people decided to actually devote themselves to the Lord, right? When they decided, you know what, I'm going all the way, I'm not holding anything back, like it's everything, I'm selling everything, I'm letting the Holy Spirit have His way in me, like fruit of the Spirit coming out of my life, like I'm not holding bitterness back, I'm not holding shame back, I'm not holding anger, like nothing, like I'm devoting everything to God. When people decided to live that way, others were added to their number daily. See, y'all can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ all you want, but I'm just letting you know right now, it's not personal. It's not personal. Like, you impact people around you, right? People see how it is that you live in Jesus. They see how it is you devote yourself to Him. And not only how you devote yourself to Him, but they see the fruit of your devotion to Him. And they decide whether they're going to follow Jesus based off of how you follow Jesus. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. Like, I would imagine most of you thought that most people thought that others follow Jesus because I might stand up here and have a really good sermon. I promise you right now, that is not how most people come to know Jesus. Most people come to know Jesus because they've seen Him at work in your life, and they think, I gotta have that. I gotta have that. So that even if I don't have an inheritance to give my kids, I can still have joy. I gotta have that. Right? So that even if I've messed up and wrecked my whole life, that I can see that I can live in forgiveness, like, I gotta have that, right? That no matter what might be going around, that I know that I've got people that are walking beside me called the church, like, I gotta have that, like, to know that I'm not walking in isolation and I'm not in this thing all by myself, like I gotta have that, like, when we devote ourselves to God, through our relationship with Jesus Christ, other people will want it too. You get to be a part of that. You are a part of that even now. If we want to see God do the miraculous, if we want to see God bring alive those that are our loved ones, our friends, our family, then we've got to live alive ourselves. We got to live like Jesus has risen from the dead and that He's set us free, that He's given us life as well. And if we want to see God perform some of those miracles, then we've got to make sure that we are living that devoted life of faith as well. Not just checking the boxes off of, yes, I prayed, yes, I read my Bible, yes, I said something nice to that person who really gets on my nerves, right? But that you actually live it out. When we do that, we will not be able to people from getting saved. Because they'll wonder, what is it that you have and how do I get that? That is how we come alive as a people, as a nation. We come alive by devoting ourselves wholly and completely. We lead others to come alive as well. Stand with me, please. Stand with me. Our goal as a church is not that you would learn how to barely survive. Our goal is not that you would learn how to make it on hospice, and our goal is not that you'd have to go home on a heart and lung monitor. No, no, no. No, my goal for us as a congregation and as the Church of the Living God is that we would live fully alive. What I want to ask you is, what is it that is holding you back from living fully alive today? As we sing here, we're going to sing one song before we get into a time of communion. As we sing, I want to invite you to actually like, think about this and pray about this, and maybe you even want to grab somebody else and come up to the altars and pray about this. Like, what is holding you back from this devotion that could change your life and the lives of those around you? What if we just decided to surrender that? What if we decided to just give everything to Jesus?
What if we decided to fully come alive? What if other people saw that in you and wanted to come alive as well? As we pray, I want to invite you to just, you come and pray too. And say yes to the Lord, whatever it is that He lays on your heart. I just want to encourage you, say yes to Him today.